Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Welcome aboard, everyone. It is Tuesday, September 15th, and it's the Week 2 edition of Through the Wire. I'm Paul Kelly, staff writer, FantasyGuru.com, along with senior writer Tom Brawley. And each week, we will be breaking down the viable waiver wire guys who are likely to be available in your league. We'll do so looking at the week that's coming up, but also with an eye towards guys who maybe can help you out through the rest of the season. Quickly, right now, up at FantasyGuru.com, our Week 2 history report is already up, as are our stat-based projections for Week 2. Hansen's projections will be out tonight. And the waiver wire report is up at FantasyGuru.com as well. But we'll run through some of the guys that we are thinking about. And Tom, let's begin at the quarterback position. And Marcus Mariota has to be the first name that people are looking at here after what he did in Week 1. We saw in the preseason, very accurate. 70% completions in the preseason. He carried that over into Week 1, 13 of 16, 209 yards, 4 TDs all in the first half, and he's looking like the real deal right now. And if you're struggling at quarterback, you have Peyton Manning, you have Ryan Tannehill, somebody who underwhelmed in Week 1, pick up Marcus Mariota and see what you see here moving forward.
Yeah, and we know that he's out there in a lot of leagues right now. And we liked what we saw all preseason, and we especially liked what we saw out of Week 1 from Ken Wisenhunt. We're a little skeptical of Ken. He hasn't always treated fantasy owners very well in the past, but we saw some staples of the Oregon offense. He ran the no huddle. He used some of the read options that we saw that Mariota had run in the past, and he looked very comfortable, and he had that pop pass to Kendall Wright on the first drive there. So we like what we saw, and we haven't actually seen him use his legs through the preseason or the first game. And I anticipate him having to use his legs going forward, which will only enhance his fantasy value in the coming weeks.
Tyrod Taylor, Buffalo Bills, another QB who can make things happen with his legs. Threw for 195 yards, had the long TD to Percy Harvin here in Week 1, but I think you have to be impressed by the way that he played. And, of course, he did add 41 yards on the ground. And Tyrod Taylor, I like him a lot as a second QB in two quarterback leagues. And if you're in a one QB league, I think you could do a whole lot worse than Tyrod Taylor right now as a backup with some potential upside.
Yeah, he could be a streaming option in the coming weeks. I mean, he doesn't have great matchups, a great matchup against Miami in Week 3, but he's got New England Week 2, Giants in Week 4, and Tennessee in Week 5. So he's a guy that's going to be viable. You can't expect him to throw it 25-plus times in a game, but he is going to run it 6 to 8 times a week and, you know, get you 50, 60 rushing yards. So that's a nice little bonus for, you know, legs that, and he could run it, you know, he could have a couple rushing TDs as well. So he's a guy that he'll be in that 17 to 20 point range for fantasy, which is very viable.
Couple of veteran names here that aren't very sexy but are likely available on your waiver wire. Alex Smith coming off a 3-touchdown game in Week 1. Not that you can expect that every week, but he is a professional quarterback. I think the receiving core is upgraded this year with Macklin and a healthy Travis Kelce. So if you need help, Alex Smith, not a bad depth option. Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, another guy. He was the number 3 quarterback for fantasy just 2 years ago. And we love A.J. Green, obviously. We really like what we saw out of Tyler Eifert in Week 1, so he's got a full complement of weapons around him. I think both Smith and Dalton look like rock-solid number 2 guys right now.
Absolutely, and you know what to expect from them. They're never – now, Dalton is a little more up and down, but, you know, they're guys that have improved casts around them this year. They're, you know, just rock-solid guys to have as your number 2 quarterbacks. If you need to stream them, if there's injuries or, you know, if bye weeks, you know, start to factor in here and starting in Week 4. So, you know, Alex Smith doesn't have a great schedule coming up. You know, gets Denver, Green Bay, and Cincinnati, but it gets a little easier after that, and that's when bye weeks start kicking in. So, you know, he's a guy to keep an eye on here.
People wondering about Johnny Football. We've seen in the past that any time a running quarterback gets in there, we saw it with Tim Tebow. Even if they're not a particularly good passer, they can put up numbers for fantasy. So Johnny Manziel, if he's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, is he somebody that people should think about rolling the dice on?
I don't blame you if you want to take a chance in a deeper league, but I just don't like what I see at all in this Brown offense here with this receiving core. I mean, Brian Hartline, Taylor Gabriel, Dwayne Bowe wasn't even active. I mean, if you're going to be counting on a quarterback with those kind of receivers, you're not going to have much fantasy success. So, yeah, if you want to take a risk on him later as a last roster spot guy, go ahead. But I would not expect to be using him this year.
Going to be interesting to see what Bill O'Brien does at quarterback down there in Houston. He's very non-committal as of today. Is it going to be Hoyer? Is it going to be Ryan Mallett? I think we're kind of hoping from a fantasy perspective that it is Ryan Mallett. He seems to present a little more upside. They do have some intriguing options and some talent at the receiver position. Ryan Mallett, if he's the starting quarterback in Houston, how are you feeling about him as a pickup?
Two QB leg, I would think about it. I mean, we all know, we've seen the Brian Hoyer show before. Yeah, he's just a guy. At least Mallett, he has the big arm. He offers this offense a little bit more downfield potential. And that, you know, that's nice if you're a DeAndre Hopkins owner. So we'd rather see Mallett because he is a little bit of an unknown, but he at least offers a little bit of upside.
Let's go to the running back position. Danny Woodhead in San Diego. Look, if he is available in your league, you pick him up right away. But Deion Lewis, New England Patriots, he's an interesting name. A lot of people didn't know what to expect from him. What kind of a role would he have this season? Obviously, he played a very large role in week number one. I know we've got LeGarrette Blount coming back from that suspension. He's going to be ready to go for week two. But you would think that Deion Lewis did enough in week one to earn himself a consistent role in this offense. Is he somebody that you're feeling pretty good about right now?
Yeah, we told people before the Thursday night game to, you know, if you wanted to take a look at somebody, take a look at Deion Lewis. He's not going to be in you know, between the tackles runner here. He goes down on first contact quite a bit. But the Patriots are looking for that guy that could be their Shane Vereen replacement, guy that will catch, you know, five or six balls a game for 50, 60 yards. So, and there's value in having a guy like that on your roster. So, you know, he's a flex option going forward. And if he can take control of that, you know, passing back role in New England here.
Boy, it didn't take long for Andre Ellington to get dinged up, did it? Week one, he's already hurting with a PCL injury. A little bit of a gray area as to how much time, if any, he's going to miss. It may be 1, 2, or 3 weeks, but Bruce Arians has come out and said that if Ellington is unavailable, Chris Johnson would be the lead back, at least in the short term, in that Cardinals offense. But you also have to like what you saw out of David Johnson making the big 55-yard touchdown play in week one as well. Either of those two guys, are you running out to pick up here if Ellington is indeed going to miss a little time?
Yeah, I guess if I was an Ellington owner, I might want to own Chris Johnson in the short term, but he doesn't offer you much upside. He's on the decline in his career. If I'm looking for long-term help, you know, the last roster spot, I'm looking at David Johnson. We saw Ellington. He can't stay healthy. Yeah, he's had issues here. So, and we see with the Breshad Perriman at a PCL, sprained PCL. So he's been out close to 6 weeks. So, yeah, they say 1 to 2 to 3 weeks here. But those injuries can turn into a longer, you know, longer-term injury. So, you know, Dave, I'm looking at David Johnson, really, if I want the upside.
Ronnie Hillman in Denver, a very interesting name for me. We saw last year when he had an opportunity to carry the load, he was very solid for fantasy. CJ Anderson hurting a little bit right now with the toe. It looks like he's not going to miss any time. But when Hillman was in there in week one, he actually looked better than CJ Anderson. You wonder if moving forward, we might be getting a bit of a timeshare here with CJ Anderson and Hillman. And then, of course, if Anderson were to be out, Hillman's got a whole lot of upside here as an RB1.
Yeah, I think we might be headed toward a kind of a 60-40 split, 65-35 split with Anderson and Hillman here. Gary Kubiak wants to run the ball. He wants to run two tight end sets. So both these guys are going to be active. And, hey, it didn't look good for Peyton Manning in week one. The guy looks like he's a little bit shot here. So they're going to pound the ball each week. So Hillman definitely could be he has flex appeal going forward. Maybe C.J. Anderson, we have to lower those expectations of as RB1. Maybe he's a high-end RB2 now. But both of these guys are going to be involved.
Hillman, 12 carries, 31 yards against a very tough Raven run defense in week one. Duke Johnson, Cleveland Browns, he had a difficult matchup in week one as well against the Jets. And he didn't do a whole lot with his touches, just 7 carries, 22 yards. But he was on the field for 44% of the snaps. Isaiah Crowell didn't get a whole lot done on the ground either. Again, a brutal matchup there for that Browns running game. But moving forward, you have to think that if Duke Johnson is healthy, he's going to earn more and more opportunities here in this Browns offense. And if you're in a smaller league and Johnson is available, I think you go ahead and pick him up.
Yeah, he's a guy the coaching staff really loves. They used a third-round pick on him. He just got banged up in the preseason. That basically put him behind the eight ball here a little bit. But he's been back around there. You know, he hasn't really played that much. This was the first time he's really been on the field much. So they're going to give him opportunities. The one thing that I didn't like that I saw in week one is he wasn't involved in the passing game. And that's a real concern going forward if Johnny Manziel is going to be the quarterback. Johnny's first instinct is to pull it and run if things aren't open down the field. He's not going to look for checkdowns like Duke Johnson. So that's a bit of a concern if Johnny Manziel is the quarterback going forward.
We should probably mention Benny Cunningham. We'll see about Trey Mason, but if Trey Mason is going to miss another week here, Benny Cunningham is a rock-solid guy who's going to get you double-digit points in a PPR. He's going to get 3 yards a carry, but he's going to catch a handful of passes, and he's going to be very involved in what they do. So, again, that kind of depends on Mason, but keep Benny Cunningham on your radar here just in case Mason is out. I do want to throw some other names at you here, Tom, and let me know if anybody's standing out to you. Okay. Bilal Powell with the New York Jets. I know he was kind of a closer this week. Theo Riddick for Detroit. We saw him active in the pass game for the Lions, got a touchdown. Charles Sims in Tampa Bay. Any of those guys doing anything for you here?
Not really, to tell you the truth. Maybe Powell a little bit as a receiver there, but Ivory kind of dominated that backfield. No, a guy that you kind of liked was Kyrie Robinson in New Orleans and a guy like Lance Dunbar in Dallas as, passing guys out of the backfield here.
Yep, Josh Robinson in Indianapolis. A lot of people hitting the panic button on Frank Gore after that first game, and you and I were talking about this. I think you kind of write off week one for your Colts skill position guys, but I don't think you give up on Frank Gore right now, but Josh Robinson is the clear handcuff there. And look, Frank Gore is 32 years old, so I think there's a decent chance that Josh Robinson does play a meaningful role for fantasy at some point this season.
The only thing I got to say about that one, I didn't like. I saw Tyler Varga on the field quite a bit. That means that they don't trust Josh Robinson in pass protection right now, which is a bit of a concern.
Yeah, you're right. Buck Allen, another guy just to keep on the radar, did have 10 touches in the first game there against Denver. I don't think you run out and pick him up right now. I mean, Forsett is definitely the lead guy, but 10 touches is 10 touches. We'll see if Buck Allen can keep that going at running back. And another interesting name, and then we'll move on to receivers here. Fred Jackson, I don't know if you saw early in the game, Seattle and the Rams here in week one. Fred Jackson was very involved on that first drive, and it seemed like, oh boy, they weren't kidding. They're going to mix him in pretty liberally here and help out Marshawn Lynch. Didn't get a whole lot of Fred Jackson, though, after those early touches. So I don't know that you run out and pick him up unless you've got Lynch. I mean, he is the clear handcuff, right?
Yeah. They're going to use Marshawn Lynch the way they've always used him, and he never seems to get hurt. So for people expecting Fred Jackson to have a pretty active role in the Seattle backfield, I don't think it's going to happen. So.
Pretty good week for wide receivers on the wire. James Jones went undrafted in pretty much every league, and it's interesting. It's like he never left Green Bay, right? Two touchdowns in week one, immediately back on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy who did lead the NFL in receiving touchdowns just 3 years ago. Not saying he's going to do it again, but clearly he's going to be somebody that Aaron Rodgers is looking for when they get down close.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was a little skeptical about James Jones heading into week one. I'm like, this guy has been cut by two teams, including the Raiders, in 5 months. So I had a lot of doubts if the guy had anything left in his tank. Man, he has some kind of mojo with Aaron Rodgers in the red zone. It's impressive. So, and we didn't really see that much out of Davante Adams. The guy, he's still a second-year guy. He's basically a rookie. He didn't play, he played limited amount of snaps as a rookie last year. So, James Jones is going to be very active. He's basically, him and Davante Adams are basically going to rotate as the 2 and 3 receiver in any given week right now.
I loved Stevie Johnson this summer in San Diego, and he had a nice week number one. Obviously, Phillip Rivers had a lot of volume in the game, threw for more than 400 yards. Johnson caught 6 for 82 and a touchdown. But for me, the stat that I like the most from Stevie Johnson was that he was on the field for 91% of their plays. He's going to be a very big part of what they do week in and week out. If he's available, I think you go get him right now.
Yeah, there was some talk that Malcolm Floyd will still be very involved, but hey, as you said, that 91% of the snaps, that's very, very nice to see right now. And he's very appealing here, at least for the next 3 weeks. If you need help, you lost Dez Bryant or, you know, having injuries at wide receiver, Stevie Johnson's appealing here the next 3 weeks while Antonio Gates is out.
We'll see about the T.Y. Hilton injury. They're calling it a bruised knee. It's unclear if he's going to miss any time right now. When he did leave the game, though, in week one, Dante Moncrief really picked up the slack, caught 6 for 46, had a 2-yard touchdown reception as well. Is he somebody that you're picking up right now if you've got T.Y. Hilton?
Absolutely. He's a guy I'd be looking to pick up if I didn't have T.Y. Hilton either, because Andre, to tell you the truth, Andre Johnson looked pretty bad in week one.
Oh,
he wasn't
doing
well. And so at some point, the Colts could turn over the keys to Dante Moncrief early in the season. It could happen early in the season if Andre Johnson doesn't start to look better. So that's a situation I'm going to be monitoring closely with both Moncrief and Dorsett, because if a guy in that offense gets an opportunity, he can produce with playing with Andrew Luck.
It is not out of the realm of possibility that Devontae Parker from Miami is available on your waiver wire. And, you know, I know he only played one snap in the first game, but maybe it's a good thing that Dolphins passing game wasn't really clicking on all cylinders. Maybe the coaching staff takes a look at Parker and says, hey, look, you know, let's go ahead and let's get this kid involved sooner rather than later. It looks like they certainly could use the help right now. Where are you on Devontae Parker?
I'll take a look at him this week, and he's going to get dropped in a lot of leagues after playing just one snap this week. The Dolphins don't have a number two receiver. They have a bunch of number threes and number fours with Rashard Matthews, Greg Jennings, and Kenny Stills. They're looking for a second guy behind Landry. So they're going to give Parker a chance eventually. He's coming off this foot injury. They didn't want to rush him. He's going to get more and more snaps as we go here. He's a guy that might not contribute until week 5 or 6, but he could be a difference maker at some point this year.
I know a lot of people are probably going to run out and pick up Percy Harvin this week. Caught 5 passes for 79 yards, had the 51-yard touchdown reception here in week number one. For me, you can't trust Percy Harvin. I'm not a Percy Harvin guy, but maybe I'm wrong on this one. What are your thoughts on Percy Harvin?
I'm with you, Paul. Somebody else use their waiver spot, use their fab budget. Please go waste it on Percy Harvin. I don't want him. They're not going to have enough volume in that offense. He's going to go for one catch for 15 yards and a couple. You know, he'll probably do it next week. So let somebody else go use their waiver budget. Use the waiver wire priority on Percy Harvin. I will not be.
Dez Bryant going to miss 4 to 8 weeks, and Cole Beasley, you would think, would be a guy for the Cowboys who's going to see some more snaps and probably many more targets headed his way as well. He did catch 4 for 49 in week one. Cole Beasley, though, he's kind of a sneaky PPR play, but potentially even more now with Dez Bryant missing up to 2 months here.
Yeah, his role probably won't change that much. He'll probably still be a slot guy, but now all those targets have to go somewhere else. So maybe Beasley is that guy that gets 2 or 3 more targets going forward. And Dez's injury, it's scary. The 4 to 8 week injury, that might not happen. That could be an injury. That could be an all year type of injury. So it's very fickle. So you want a part of this Cowboy offense going forward. A guy like Terrence Williams might still be out near waiver wire. So I'd look at him or Beasley this week.
I know we started giving Brandon Coleman some love on the site this summer, a wide receiver for the Saints. A lot of people not really familiar with him. He did catch 4 passes for 41 yards and scored in week one playing behind Marcus Colston. Colston, frankly, didn't look that great in this game. I know they like Coleman. He's got great size. He's somebody that to me presents himself as somebody who's likely available, who comes with some upside.
Yeah, our guy Greg Cosell told us about Coleman back in April, and you know we've been on him since then, and he played more than Colston in this one, and frankly he looked more athletic. He made a nice play on a touchdown there, so he's a guy that needs to be owned. He's gonna get better with the more and more playing time that he gets, so he needs to be owned at this point.
I kind of like Allen Hurns in Jacksonville. To me, he seems like a guy who, you know, could get you 4 for 60 or 5 for 50 pretty much most weeks. And, you know, Allen Robinson was very quiet in week one. Marquise Lee can't get healthy. It just seems like he's going to be a guy who gets consistent targets week in and week out, and he's available pretty much in every league.
The only thing I'll say about that is that Blake Bortles looked very shaky in week one, which is a major concern. That offensive line didn't play very well. They did play against a great Panther defense, but that would be my only concern. But he did get open for a big play. Bortles missed him a little bit. He was forced out of bounds on it. So Hearns continues to do those kind of things. He's a sneaky downfield threat. So, you know, he's a good guy to have as your fifth receiver on a roster.
Let's move over to the tight ends. It was actually a pretty good week for fantasy tight ends here in week number one, and some young guys really beginning to emerge. Austin Seferian Jenkins had a big game for the Bucs. Eric Ebron, was good to see him get a touchdown for Detroit here in week number one. Jordan Reed, though, to me, is a guy who didn't get a whole lot of love this summer, and a lot of people expected him to split time with Niles Paul, but when Paul went down with the injury, to me, that really opened up a big opportunity for Jordan Reed. And we've seen when Jordan Reed is healthy, he puts up numbers for fantasy. And certainly that was the case here in week number one.
And yeah, hey, Jordan Reed, we don't know how long he's going to be on the field,
but enjoy it now.
Enjoy it while you can. Pick him up, use him until he gets hurt. DeSean Jackson's out right now. They don't have a number one option. Jordan Reed's that number one option, or Pierre Garçon, but he is going to be very active. He is out on your waiver wire. Pick him up. Use him until he gets hurt. He's going to be a top 10 tight end until that injury eventually occurs. But use him while you can. Please.
Richard Rodgers in Green Bay caught just 3 for 37 with Jordy out. I think a lot of people looking to Richard Rodgers as a guy who is a potential beneficiary there. Some more targets potentially headed his way. Again, just 3 targets in week one. But is he somebody that maybe you expect his role to grow as we move forward, and maybe he's worth a pickup right now?
I don't know if he's worth a pickup right now. He's a guy definitely keep an eye on. The James Jones pickup definitely, I think, hurt him, because I think he was going to be targeted for a bigger role in the red zone, and now James Jones is back. He's Aaron Rodgers' guy in the red zone. Randall Cobb is very active in the red zone, so the James Jones pickup really hurt Rodgers a lot, but I still think his role is going to grow, but he's not necessarily a guy you need to own at this point.
A lot of people woke up on Monday morning, checked the box score, and said, who is Darren Fells for the Arizona Cardinals? 4 catches, 82 yards, and a TD on 5 targets. Look, this is a Bruce Arians offense, tight end position, typically doesn't do a whole lot for fantasy. Darren Fells, is he kind of falling under the same heading here as Percy Harvin? You'll let somebody else in your league go out and pick him up?
Yes, absolutely. If somebody saw Darren Fells in his stats this week, let them go pick him up, because I would not expect him to duplicate that. I actually thought it was his brother Daniel Fells. Then I was watching the Giants game later that night, and there was another Fells out in the field. I was all kind of confused. I didn't realize there was 2 Fells in the league. So he's a blocker. He's just let him on the waiver wire. Let somebody else blow their budget on him. He's a guy that you can just let there.
All right, that's pretty much going to do it here for us. Again, the waiver wire report is up in full at fantasyguru.com. Hanson's projections will be going up this evening as well, so make sure you check out the site. For Tom Briley, I'm Paul Kelly. Thank you for listening. Good luck in week number 2, and we will see you at fantasyguru.com.